Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bible study. This is Brother Miles. I'm glad you've stopped by. Hope everything is well and you're doing fine, and I'm glad to have you today. And if you got your Bibles, which I'm sure you do, we're in Genesis chapter 17 is where we're going to start today and try to make our way through. And just want to say, if you don't have a church, we'd love to invite you to Little Sand Mountain. We're practicing safe distance. These are families that are there, and they kind of huddle together, and things seem to be going well. We don't have anybody that's sick, and no reported cases or anything like that. And so, but just be careful and be cautious and be mindful of others. Okay. And so before we start, though, we're going to begin with prayer. Before we begin our study, let's start with prayer. Let's thank the Lord today for his promises. Let's thank him that he's not forgotten us, that he's coming back for us, and that we'll be in heaven with him. And just thank him for, you know, our salvation, for his love, his mercy, his might. Just praise him today. We're not going to ask him for a thing other than to open our hearts and minds to his word, help us to understand, help us to grow, to be a better son, a better daughter for him, and to be a better witness, to be a foundational Christian, okay? Not just know Bible stories, know Bible doctrine, okay? So let's begin. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for this day. I pray your blessings upon each and every listener today. I pray that, Lord, wherever this program goes, into automobiles, to cars, to businesses, wherever that might be, that you'd bless each hearer and help us, Lord, to grow. Give us, open our hearts, remove from us anything that would hinder the Holy Spirit from teaching us and leading us. Open our hearts and minds to understand, illuminate our thoughts, and bless your word today, because we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we stopped around chapter 16, 15, and 16 is where we were, the last two verses. And Hagar had, Sarah had offered her mistress to her servant, her Egyptian servant, to Abraham to go in unto her. Sarah, you know, thought this was a solution. This was a solution that God was wanting Abraham to wait on him. He had reasons for this. When God wants us to wait, when he doesn't answer right away, it doesn't mean he's saying no. It doesn't necessarily mean he's saying yes, but we have to wait. It's not that God's slow. It's not that. Sometimes it could be that God has already answered and the devil's hindering the answer. Remember in Daniel, when Daniel had prayed and he had fasted for 21 days, I believe it was, and the angel appeared to him and said, "Daniel, listen, I heard you. We heard you when you spoke. But I've been fighting the devil, trying to get you the answer back." Remember, that's a paraphrase, but remember, that's the thought. Well, sometimes the devil hinders the answer. He hinders the answer because he don't want you to grow. He don't want you to progress. He don't want you to be blessed of God. We talked about that this morning, about how when God's touched our lives in various ways and answered prayers and interceded on our behalf, how that makes us feel, how it brings joy and peace. And it's such an individual thing that when you tell somebody else about it, it's not that they don't get it and that they don't share the joy with you, but it don't mean the same thing to them, because it's personal. It belongs to you. Okay, and so Sarah was going to fix this. She didn't want to wait on the Lord, and so Abraham went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when they found out that she was going to have a child, then Sarah was despised in her eyes, because, you know, they were no longer, Hagar thought, had the idea that they were no longer, she was no longer a servant. She was equal with Sarah, Sarai at that time. So the story develops, and Sarah blames Abraham, wants him to fix it. And he said, she's your servant, do what you want to do. So he puts it back on her. So she treats Hagar badly. And Hagar runs. She runs. And so she meets the Lord by the way, and he speaks to her and tells her to go back, but promises that she's going to have a son, so name him Ishmael. And she named God. She verse 13 says, "And she called the name of the Lord and spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" And so this is where we are. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. So she evidently related the story of what happened, that God wanted his name to be called Ishmael, and he believed her, and that's what the child's name was. Now, 17, where we're going to start. Now, and when, you know, the narrative changes from time, it goes from like one scene to the next, and you can pick that up and see. Now something different is going to occur here. Chapter 17, and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared, for the, I think this is the third time unto Abram. And, you know, doesn't say what form he appeared unto him in at this time, but we'll see later how he did appear unto him. He appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Remember that? And he said unto him, "I am the Almighty God." This is El Shaddai. Now, what it has, that's what it has become to, that's what the name has become, is El Shaddai. But the original meaning is unknown. But this is one of the most magnificent names of God. And he tells Abraham, he said, "I am the Almighty God." Now that declaration there should say to us, and that speaks to me and it speaks to you as well, speaks to all of us, that that the God is the I Am, comes from you know, we know, of course, in Exodus when he spoke to Moses and he said, "I am." You tell them, "I am sent you." And then Jesus in the New Testament, when the Pharisees said, "We have Abraham as our father," he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." So see, there's a significance there. And in the book of John, the statements that Jesus makes, "I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the vine," so on and so forth. All right, here God tells Abraham, he said, "I am the Almighty God." That's an awesome statement. That's who answers your prayers. That's who saved your soul. That's who you talk to every day, is the Almighty God. Now, that's awesome. In El Shaddai, that's what it's come to mean. But the original meaning in the Hebrew has never been known. They don't know what it means. But here in the English, translated, El Shaddai translated, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." So there was some stipulations for Abraham. See, when the promises that God makes will come true, whatever they are, whatever the promises are, they will come true always. He's the Amen, the faithful and true witness in the book of Revelation. And all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. Whatever he's promised, it's a foregone conclusion that it'll come true. Now within that promise, there's some, God expects us to, look what he told Abraham. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, you know good and well that perfection is something that you strive for, but it's not anything you ever obtain. You'll never obtain perfection down here. Now, there's been some preachers that have stated that, and I know a couple that's told me, and this is hilarious, they told me that, me and my wife has never had a fuss. I know this person real well, hadn't seen them in a long time. Matter of fact, I'm kin to them. They're nowhere near up here. But he told me one time, he said, "Me and my wife has never had a fuss." And I thought, well, they must live in different houses, must never ride together, must never decide on a restaurant, never had to pick out paint. She never wanted him to move a heavy couch on a Sunday afternoon when the ball game was on her. You know what I mean? So, if he says so, people that say they're perfect. Now we get the idea sometimes that we think we're perfect because we don't do what he's done, or we've never been where she's at, or we don't have the problems that they have. That's what that's called, is not being perfect. It's called being Pharisaical. And if we ever get past the thought that Jesus saved us because we were wicked, evil sinners. Now, see, the sin nature that's within us is still evil and wicked, and it's capable of doing disastrous things. If we don't walk in the light as he is in the light, we can walk in the flesh, and the flesh can take over. So he tells Abraham, he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Walking is righteousness, is righteous things, doing what you know to do is right. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. This is a reaffirmation. This is something that he's stating again. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. The fact that Abraham fell on his face before God tells me that it was a very large act of humility, that's all he knew to do in the presence of God. He fell on his face and said, God talked with him. See, when we humble ourselves and when we desire the presence of God and we want to receive instruction from him, whatever that might be, even if it includes waiting and trusting in something that we can't. Abraham was 99 years old, y'all. Come on, somebody. He was 99 years old, and God kept telling him, "You're gonna be a great nation. You're gonna have young'uns. You're going to produce a great nations. Multiplied. I mean, as far as the sands of the sea and stars of the sky. And so here Abraham is, and he's 99 years old, and you know what he's thinking. You know what he's thinking. Come on." And Abraham fell on his face. As for me, verse 4, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. 99 years old now. Look at verse 5. Neither shall thy name be anymore be called Abram, for thy name shall be Abraham. I've been calling him Abraham ever since. I mean, supposed to have been Abram until this point. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of a multitude. So he changes his name, and this was something that went on in the Middle East that signifies ownership. When it was naming was a very important right back then, and it is still today. Names weren't chosen or given out flippantly, and so the name often reflected the character of the person or the intended character of the person. And God said that Abraham was going to be the father of many nations. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Here he is, 99 years old. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed forever after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. There's the land, the seed, and the blessing. There's the promise. And he just ratified it a few years before. He had ratified this covenant with Abraham. It's a constant reminder. And when we read the Bible, we're reminded of God's promises. We're reminded of what God intends to do or wants to do in our life. And there's some things that you do not have to pray about. It's called God's specific will. His specific will is that we read and study our Bible, that we pray, that we witness, that we take care of each other, so on and so forth. But then there's some things that are not his specific will. It's his special will. And this was God's special will in the life of Abraham, where he called him to do a special thing, something set apart. Now, his specific will, walk before me and be thou perfect. Things that you know to do, is right. If you see somebody drop a $10 bill, you know it's right to tell that person, hey, brother, you dropped some money. It's not right to let that person walk off and you pick up that $10 bill. Now, that's not right. That's the same thing as stealing. Now, if you walking down the sidewalk and you see a $10 bill and there's nobody around, you pick it up, I guess that's your lucky day. But if somebody comes walking up from the other direction, says, hey, buddy, listen, I was just walking out through here, and I reached in my pocket to get my keys, and I think I've dropped some money. Did you happen to see any money laying on the sidewalk as you were walking along? See, that's God's specific will right there. Yes, I sure did, buddy. I've seen a $10 bill laying here. Is that yours? You know what? God blesses that kind of thing. He will not bless. If you found that $10 bill and knew that guy had dropped it, and you went and put it in the offering plate, it's no good. It's not. It won't. It, a penny will produce more than that $10 bill. So see, that's God's specific will. And so now he renames him Abraham, and he reiterates the promise to him. Verse 9, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. God expects us to do right, to live right, and to be right. He expects us to keep his word. And we just said what that means, his special will, his specific will. Our sanctification, positional sanctification, is when you're saved, God positions you in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You're placed in his grace. Progressive sanctification is growing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord daily. Growing. God never expects you to stay where you are. He expects you to progress. Think about it now. How long have you been saved? And what did you know then and what do you know now? You should be progressing. Don't blame it on the preacher. But Brother Miles, he's hard to listen to. Don't blame it on the church. Listen, it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to read and study your Bible. Get you a concordance. Get you a concordance. Get you a Bible dictionary. It's the Holy Spirit's job when we seek his face is to lead and guide us into all truth. And truth is what we should be about, not error. All right, he said, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man shall... Now, he's going to introduce something different. It's not like Abraham didn't know what was going on, but this was going to be a sign of the covenant. This was going to be a sign of humility, equality. This was going to be a sign of obedience when God tells them to do this because it will set them apart. It'll remove that which is unhealthy, that which is deplorable, and that which leads to sin. I'm not going to go real deep into that, but you understand what I'm talking about. Let's read. Verse 10, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you, thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. Well, without me going into it, you know what circumcision means. You know what it consists of. This is males only. Nothing ever said about the... And this is another thing that the male has. Man has a unique position. God has a unique position for him. He has a position of authority. He has a position of leadership. He has a position of spirituality. A lot of us men are going to give account one day for not leading our families, for turning that over to the wife, thinking that that's a woman's job to read the Bible to the kids and to have prayer in the home and to take, you know. No, it's your job. This is just one place right here that you can see it. We saw it when God was in the garden with Adam. When Eve was the first one to sin, she gave Adam sinned. He disobeyed. Eve was deceived. Well, God came in the garden. He didn't speak to Eve first. She was the first one. He spoke to Adam. He said, "Where are you? What have you done?" He held him responsible. All right, that's a little side note there. That won't cost you a dime. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. It's a sign of submission. It's a sign of obedience. And also, watch this. This is really neat. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed. It means this right here puts everybody on level ground. Remember in the New Testament, Paul said there's neither bond nor free, slave nor free, or so on and so forth. And everybody is equal before God. You understand that? That's what this produced or showed in equality. Abraham was a very prominent, very rich, very respected man. And Abraham humbled himself and lowered himself. I don't want to say lowered himself. He humbled himself to perform this act on himself to begin with, and then followed suit with everybody else. Okay, so what people were seeing is that God's promises and God's word is to everyone. And this was a sign of the covenant. This was a sign of the covenant. And so he that is born in the house and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for everlasting. It was always a reminder. It was always a reminder. It was an act of cleansing. When God saves us, he removes the filth in our heart. and our heart is cleansed, and is and the filth and the wickedness is removed, and it's gone. God takes it away, and it leaves a scar. It leaves a scar. We'll know we'll always know that it's been there. You understand what I'm talking about? And it's a act of cleansing. It's an act of submission. It's an act of equality, and it's an act of obedience. This is what God said that I want you to do, and this is what's going to set you apart. It's going to set you apart as my people, and the strangers in your house, all those that are born to you, will start at a very early age. And so Abraham had to start this ball rolling. And verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Her name means princess. Means princess. And Sarai meant my princess. Now he took the my off and it means princess. Because she would be a princess of a lot of kings and nations and peoples. Now verse 16, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. There's the promise spelled out specifically. Again, he says this over and over. And that's typical. God tells us in his word over and over and over. And we're like Abraham. I know sometimes we have to wait a long time for God to answer prayer or for things to come through. But the outcome is always worth the wait. I know a lady that prayed for her husband for years and years and years. He was a drunk and he would beat her. And, you know, I believe her name was Martha or Mary. I believe it was Martha. And she prayed for him. She'd go to church. Sometimes he'd let her and sometimes he wouldn't. He was just obnoxious, you know. And she prayed for him. She prayed for him. And when he said, "You're not going," she didn't go. You know, and then when she could go, she went. Well, this went on for like, I don't know, 20 years or more. During a revival meeting one night, right before church, she just simply told him she was going to pray for him. And he yeah-yeah'd this and mouthed off that. You know, she left and went on to the little old church. And that night, during the invitation, she went to the altar and prayed for him and just begged God to save him. And in a minute, the back door of the church opened up and this man walked in. He had come to pick her up. And he walked in and he stood there for a moment and he was under such conviction that he went straight to the altar and the preacher dealt with him and he got saved. And he said that he had been sitting out in the parking lot. He had heard the singing. He could hear the parts of the message, but he'd sit outside in the parking lot and he tried to leave, but he couldn't. He said he was restrained. He tried to leave, but he could not leave. Now, see, that's what waiting on God will do. Now, that's a true story. That's not just to add to what we're talking about. That's a true story. And that's what waiting on God. See, God makes promises. He's promised to save you and your household. If you've got a lost loved one in your household, don't give up praying for them. Continue to pray for them. God has made a promise. He made it to Cornelius. He and his household got saved. He made it to Lydia. Got saved down by the river. To the Philippian jailer and his household got saved. So God makes promises, and he made this promise to Abraham. He said, "Listen," he said, "I'll bless her." He said, "I will bless her," his wife, that's now she's 90 and he's 100. "And I will bless her," and she said, and he says it twice, "I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her and she'll be a mother of nations." Mother, one of the greatest titles in all the world, mother. "And kings of people shall be of her." Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Now, here he is talking with God now. Now, see, when you're reading your Bible, when we're reading or studying our Bible right now, we're listening to God because this is God's word. This is what he said. These are his words, his very words. "And then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, his 90, and Sarah that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before me." We've always got a better way, don't we? We've always got, now see, Ishmael's a type of the law and Isaac's a type of grace. Seeing the law won't do. It won't do. It only points you to the cross. It only teaches us that we're sinners. Grace is what saved. So see, Now, after God's making this promise to him, it said that God appeared unto him. God's talking to him. God's instructing him. And now, see, Abraham was known for as a man of faith, but even Abraham had moments when, really? I mean, I am 100 years old. I'm 62 years old, and I feel like 100. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. There's things that I used to do that I wished I could do. I can't do more. I can't do no more. Hair falling out, growing in places it ain't supposed to, letting go of places that it's supposed to be. It's a part of life. It's a part of this. You know, we grow. Oh, here he is, 100 years old. God's telling him, y'all going to have a youngin. Y'all are going to have a baby. Sarah's 90 years old. Then Abraham blurts it out in a moment of unbelief and faithlessness. He said, I've already got Ishmael. Why can't he be the one? And simply look in verse 19. He says, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. Now watch this right here. He clarifies it even more. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. So not only does God reiterate to him, let's see, look at this, verse 16, 17, and 18. Let's count. I will bless her, give thee a son. That's one time. I will bless her, she'll be a mother. That's another time. Abraham fell on his face. A child shall be born unto him. Let's see, that's three times. 19, that's four times. And Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. I will establish my covenant. Right here, four times in just a second or two in the conversation, God tells him that she's going to be a mother. She's going to be a mother, and he's going to be a father. And then watch what he does. Look, and he says, thou shalt call his name Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Kind of makes Abraham think there, you know, because he laughed. Later on, Sarah laughs too. And he said, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, now he addresses this fact because Abraham, Hagar was his wife. He took her to be his wife and they had a son together. But it wasn't the union that God would bless. I mean, it wasn't the union that God ordained. He would bless this union. He blessed and as far as Ishmael being. It says, I will bless him. Look in verse 20. He said, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Genesis 25:12 lists his 12 sons. But my covenant, here's the thing right here. This is the difference right here between Ishmael and Isaac. He said, but my covenant, my promise that I made with you. Remember, Abraham, when I passed through the pieces? Remember when the sacrifice was divided, part on one side, part on the other side, and the smoking furnace and the light, the lamp passed through the pieces, and I established my covenant, I ratified it with you. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, not with Ishmael, with Isaac. That's the difference between the Israelites and the Arabs right there. That the covenant was with Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not with Ishmael. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, with Sarah, which Sarah shall, there it is again, will bear unto thee. Now watch, not only does he name him, but he says, at this time in the next year. So pretty soon, if you'll listen to me just for a minute, sparks are going to fly one evening. Abraham's going to go into his tent, and God's going to touch him. He's going to touch Sarah. And sparks are going to fly from Dan to Beersheba. And 9 months later, the son of laughter is going to be born. Now, God has a way. God has a way. His ways are above us. It's hard to we can't always understand his ways and know his ways, but we have to trust his ways. Now, he's telling him verbatim over and over again, my covenant will I establish with Isaac, with Sarah shall bear unto thee this time next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. He stopped talking with him, and the Bible says he went up. We're going to stop right there because we're going to start another section. My time's almost gone. But Abraham, God left off talking with him. In other words, I've said what I've said, and this is what's going to happen. And the Bible says he went up from Abraham. Well, my time's about gone, y'all. Listen, I've enjoyed the day. I can't wait for next week to be back with you again. Have a wonderful time. This is Brother Miles. God bless you.